News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Now, onto something different. Minister for Housing Dara O'Brien will today bring the Affordable Housing Bill 2021 to Cabinet, which aims to address Ireland's, some might call it, dysfunctional housing system. And he joins us now on News Talk Breakfast to discuss it. Minister, remind us the main thrust of the bill. What do you hope to achieve with it and what are the moving parts?
Look, it's a very significant piece of legislation, if I could say, Ciarán. It's actually the most comprehensive affordable housing bill that's ever been brought to Cabinet. There's a number of components to it. Firstly, in relation to provision of affordable purchase homes on state-owned land, it's to bring in a national scheme to do that and to empower our local authorities to do that. Secondly, we will have a shared equity arrangement which will give choice to first-time buyers, predominantly focused at first-time buyers, but not exclusively, maybe for people who have no interest in it, may have been divorced or areas such as that. That's a scheme whereby the state will take a small equity in the home to allow the prospective homeowner to bridge the affordability gap. Really, the maximum's 20% on that. And thirdly then, and really excitingly, is the cost rental model. And that's effectively focused at people, working people who are above the social housing limits, who will now be able to get state-backed rents at a minimum of 25% below market rent. We're starting that this year with 8 different schemes across the country, targeting over 400 tenancies, and we'll build on that. And then I have already flagged, and actually on your show indeed, that I intend to bring forward in the provisions to extend the Part 5. Currently, any new estate that's built, 10% of those homes would be flagged and protected for social housing, and I want to make sure that that continues. But I'm also looking at the option of extending that to 20%, so another 10%.
And will that be allowed to be outsourced the way it has been in the past, that a builder or a developer could say, I'm building a housing estate, I know I have to provide 10% or 20%,
they can't move it,
and I'm going to move that somewhere else?
Yeah, no, we want it to stay in the area in which the...
And will that be copper fastened, Minister?
Yeah, just to say, Ciarán, just to finish on one point, is the additional 10% will be for affordable housing, okay? Now, we will allow equivalent value, and I think we need to do that. I don't want a situation where we've seen apartments at 500,000 each, where the council has to buy, spend 5 million on 10 apartments. So we need to allow some degree of flexibility there. But this has gone through pre-legislative scrutiny in the Dáil. It'll go to Cabinet now today. I intend to get this bill with these provisions enacted in the summer. So it's to provide real hope for people who have felt that they, and rightly so, have been locked out of the housing market.
Let's break it down into the parts. That's, for example, the cost rental scheme. Is it not the case that investors will be allowed to profit from what has been referred to as a cost rental scheme, which means, in effect, it is just, I suppose, another aspect of a buy to let or a build to let?
35 million is what the state, the taxpayer, is putting in to support these tenancies, and that will be the first 400 tenancies. This will grow with state support.
So investors in this area will not be making any profit?
There is a provision, Ciarán, because if you take the ISIF, our own investment fund, the EIB, to allow investment by the EIB and ISIF and other funds such as that, benign funds, to invest in the future, should that be the case. That actually happens in Europe. Austria have been streets ahead of other countries in relation to this type of supported below market rent. They allow certain pension funds and investment funds invest also. But we're starting this with state-backed resources. But I want to ensure that in the future, that if there are schemes that the European Investment Bank can invest in, like the St. Michael's Estate in Inchicore, in delivering cost rental, I need to be able to make provision for that.
Minister, there has been huge criticism of the shared equity part of this bill as well. Everyone from the ESRI to Social Justice Ireland has criticised it, saying that what will actually happen here is it will drive up prices, which is something we've seen before in this country. That is the fear, and I know the data that has come out of the UK. But I know the data that's come out of the UK that is used to justify it. But they have a different situation with regard to supply. Is supply not still going to be the Achilles heel here?
Look, the measures that I'm bringing forward today are all supply-side measures, and that's fundamentally, and you're right in raising that, that's exactly what we need to do. We need to to increase supply, but we need to target the supports at those who need it most. There's been a lot of debate around shared equity, and I've actually welcomed that, a lot of support for it too. We've tailored and targeted the scheme, so it's very, very focused on those who need it most. There are price caps within it on a regional basis as well, and it will simply help people bridge that affordability gap that's there. It actually, in other jurisdictions, has worked very, very well. The people that I've been talking to who are caught in that affordability trap are really anxious that this happens. And I think we've got to focus on that, the people who need it. That's the reason I'm doing it, because I believe in home ownership, Ciara. I believe that it's a just and honest aspiration for people to have.
I agree with you.
And the state should support it.
But, Dara, if we do see an upward pressure in prices, and to be fair, we're already seeing an upward pressure in prices, and supposing this further pushes it in that direction, is there any brake mechanism? Is there any review mechanism?
Absolutely. Look, there's a review in this scheme. It'll be reviewed very carefully, because it's the first type of... Let's remember the size of it first. It's 75 million in a mortgage market of 11 billion. Okay, so I think that the idea of an inflationary effect has maybe been overplayed somewhat. But having said that, it will be carefully reviewed, and there's a built into it is a 12-month review as well to make sure that if we need to calibrate it somewhat, that we will. And, you know, anyone who participates in this will have to have an open book approach as well. A fair value approach is actually built into it. So I actually think this is a mechanism to be able to deliver affordable homes quicker, because there is an urgency around this. We're not going to solve the housing crisis doing the same things that we've done over the last 10 years. So these measures that I've brought forward in this bill are different. Yes, some of them are radical, but we need a radical approach, but an approach that's actually going to work and is realisable, not just throwaway remarks on it. We need real action, and people want to see that, and this will do it.
Briefly, before I let you go, Minister, we've been talking on News Talk Breakfast this morning about the PUP, about the fact that we know that almost 50,000 college students are on it. We've heard that Adrian Cummins is saying restaurants are finding it hard to get those students to come back to their part-time jobs because they have money they never expected to have. Is anything going to be changed? No one is arguing that the PUP should be removed for families and people who are actually living on it. But for those who are perhaps living at home without bills who are getting the PUP at the moment, is there going to be any, I suppose, new version of the PUP anytime soon?
No. Michael McGrath has been very clear on this, that there's going to be no cliff edge. We've over 420,000 people, including students, being supported by the PUP, and I don't think it's appropriate to be able to take out a certain cohort of people from the PUP. There will be changes into the future. They'll be flagged well in advance, but pandemic supports will remain in place for this year for those who need the most. Well, it's not on the horizon, frankly, in the short term as well.
Okay.
Like many people, and I, you know, in the retail, the hospitality sector in particular, aviation have suffered incredibly over the last year. They need to continue to be supported.
Yeah, but there are a group, I suppose, who no one is arguing that there is a group who absolutely needs it. But there's another group, perhaps, who are getting it. Last question for you. This age-based rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine, is it going to be the case that we're going to have lots and lots of Johnson & Johnson left over in June because those people are already going to be vaccinated with other vaccines and no one else is going to be able to use it?
No, I think we've shown already that we've been able to point the vaccination programme and to be able to deal with it efficiently. We're administering 95% of every vaccine received within 7 days. So I know the HSE this week will be coming to government.
I'm aware of all that, but specifically the Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah, but we haven't had any detail from the HSE to be brought to us yet. We have a cabinet meeting later today. I know that the HSE are planning to bring a revised schedule of vaccination to us this week for government to approve. I don't envisage a situation, frankly, to answer your question, Ciara, that there will be a stockpile of Johnson & Johnson left over unused. I don't think that will happen. I think we've already shown that even within the advice that has been given on Janssen, it does show that for those under that age cohort that it is still safe. So we know that too.
We will leave it there. Thank you very much for speaking to us this morning. That is Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien.